Hello, this is Grant from the Groupies Podcast and More Media. I just wanted to let you know today about our sponsor, Anchor. Anchor is a free podcasting app and website that you can access at any time. It allows you to publish, host, create, basically do anything with podcasts all for free. It's amazing. It basically runs most of And More Media, all of the podcasts that we do here. It specifically helps us at Groupies by publishing all of our podcasts everywhere where podcasts can be heard. Basically, you can use it as any regular website or podcast host where you upload your podcasts and you publish them to your RSS feed. However, Anchor is really cool in that there is a free app that you can download, Anchor, at any time to publish, produce, create your podcasts on the go. It's amazing. You should definitely go check it out. It's at anchor.fm. That's anchor.fm to visit more. All right, back to the show.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
But I'm ready to get into some Rivers Phoenix and the Boys.
Rivers
Phoenix is the actor, right?
Yeah, who overdosed.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say he's dead.
Yeah, he overdosed on an 8-ball in the bathroom at Viper Room.
One day, even though it has nothing to do with music.
What a great time that
was. Great soundtrack.
Been. Viper Room owned by Johnny Depp, by the way. That's where he overdosed at.
Oh.
At a club owned by Johnny Depp in the bathroom, the infamous Viper Room.
Wait, is that a conspiracy or no?
I mean, kind of.
Yeah,
because it was like, how did it happen? But yeah, you know.
Okay.
Let's go.
But yeah, no, I'm ready. I'm ready to talk about this Red album. Let's do it.
Can you just...
And with that, welcome to Groupies. We're talking about the Blue album by Weezer today. The, the famous album with four dudes just chilling on the cover.
Actually, the album's just called Weezer, but their fans decide to call it the Blue Album. Just saying, to correct you.
Well, that's the same thing with like the Beatles. The Beatles' self-titled album is the White Album.
Yeah.
Nobody calls it the Beatles.
They should. They should call it the Weezer Album.
Okay. You
but
can believe that if you want.
Their album covers continue to look like that, just different colors.
Oh, yeah. Then they followed the... Yeah.
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 I know, Amir, that you weren't
By
as
the
big
way,
a fan.
I'm Grant.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah. We got to do this. Yeah. Hey, I'm Hannah.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Amir.
Now back to the...
Yeah.
I was going
to
say, I know you didn't like this, but this is Weezer's, or as much as us maybe, but this is Weezer's debut album, and I think it holds its own among some of the great debut albums of all time.
Yeah.
Also holds its own as some of the greatest drop-off in quality.
Whoa, and I wouldn't say...
After the debut.
I wouldn't say... Well, I didn't listen. I've never heard the whole catalog, so I would know. But as a person who listened to this, I don't know if I should just say how I feel now.
Well, Grant,
It is my classic.
We're
bringing back the classics format. I guess we probably should talk about that a little bit.
I guess, that we should have been more organized about the entire beginning of this episode.
Sorry. All right.
It's a soft intro.
Just act like
nice,
all that never
relaxed.
Happened.
You know, like, if you're listening to this, you're like, I need a little breather before we get into it.
Format changes.
Let's talk about the format change.
So what we're doing now is to make it not only fun for everyone and hopefully a little more enjoyable to listen to, we're going to be bringing in albums for A-sides each week. Whether it's a classic album like Weezer's Blue Album or if it's a new album that just came out like Cardi B or something, we will talk about it. And describe its impact and all that.
No, I didn't mean to laugh at you. It's just I think Cardi B and then I think Invasion of Privacy, which isn't new at all.
No. I remember it because we did a huge episode about
that. That was like one of our most successful episodes when it was
That's what made me think.
So I get where you're going.
Yeah. So we're excited. And then B-sides will remain the same as discussions about music. Which the B-side about this or, upcoming this week is going to be related to Weezer. So stay tuned.
I think that's the goal is going to be we'll try to pick a B-side that at least somehow we can connect back
to the
A-side.
Yeah, some loose connection, yeah.
As well for the A-side, when we're not doing new albums like you mentioned, and we're doing classic albums, that's kind of a loose definition of classic, whether it be a personal classic or like a general classic. Obviously this week the Blue Album is considered more of a general classic, I would say.
Yeah.
And that'll alternate who picks their classic as a whole from week to week. Mm-hmm. So this week it's Grant's, and then I don't think we've decided who next week's is yet.
Yeah, not yet.
But that's just how it's going to be.
And then additionally, we'll have another special A-side where we will look at a playlist that we've been looking at and adding music to over the course of a month, and we'll kind of review it and see where everyone's music tastes are at. I know Tom and I have already started updating the Spotify thing.
Yes, we
it's
have.
Called Groupies, a something mean, playlist.
The playlist title is Groupies, colon, the Rotation.
Yes, that's what it is. Groupies, the Rotation. So if you want to go follow it on Spotify, all you have to do is search Groupies, colon, the Rotation. You can see what we're listening to right now and what we'll be talking about on the episode coming soon. But with that said, we're talking about Weezer today. So I prepared some documents about, you know, what this album is and some of the behind the scenes of it. If there, is there anything else before we start?
I wish that Beverly Hills was on this album.
Me too. That'd really make it the complete greatest hits, except for Island in the Sun. So let's get that out of there. It really would fit, I think.
Beverly Hills?
With this album? Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna.
You
I'm
don't
gonna
have to
over.
Agree.
Yeah, no.
But since this is your classic that you bring in, I'll let you lead the discussion.
Right. This album.
So about this album, Weezer. I kind of stole this from Wikipedia, but I did check some
did.
Of the sources of it. Well,
attacked.
It has the facts.
It has the facts. Yeah.
As we know, this is the debut studio album from Weezer. It was. It's just self-titled as Weezer, but it has now been known as the Blue Album. It was released on May 10th, 1994 by DGC Records. It was produced by the Cars frontman, Rick Ocasek, I think that's how it's pronounced, and was recorded in Electric Lady Studios in New York City. As of August 2009, the album has sold at least 3 million copies plus in the United States. The album reached number 16 on the Billboard 200 and became a certified triple platinum in the U.S. and became a certified triple platinum in Canada. So that's some big accolades for an album, you know?
Yeah,
for
a
debut.
Back
yeah.
then, not that
I'd be curious to see the numbers on if how quickly it garnered success, if it was kind of like a slow burn.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So a little bit behind the album, it was Weezer. The band itself was formed a couple of years before that in 1992. It was actually in L.A., so they recorded in NYC, but they weren't there at the time. They started in Los Angeles. It was formed by the man, the myth, the legend, Rivers Cuomo, alongside Patrick Wilson, Matt Sharp, and Jason Cropper. So while they were making this album, the band focused on a lot of vocal interplay, and they would practice barbershop quartet-style songs.
Really?
Yeah, and this album doesn't really reflect that.
No, but there's maybe...
Except for that.
They do have a lot of vocal interplay.
That also
in
doesn't
general,
surprise
though.
Me at all because of their personalities.
Yeah, exactly. And it was so Sharp, who one of the band members active, never really sung before joining Weezer, but he developed a falsetto backing vocal after doing this. Like he practiced enough to where like he became a backing singer.
Falsetto too?
Yeah, falsetto nonetheless.
Goals.
Piss you off.
So during the sessions, 15 songs were rehearsed for the album pre-production sessions in New York. Four songs from the rehearsal did not get to the album, which I think are on the deluxe, but it's Lullaby for Wayne, I Swear It's True, Getting Up and Leaving, and a reprised version of In the Garage. There's another song that didn't get on there. Oops. That didn't get on there. It's called Michael and Carly. It was about like a fan club for Weezer before they were even a Weezer. I don't know. I didn't get much on that story, but it was kind of weird.
Gross hipster shit.
According to Rick Ocasek, their producer, all 10 tracks were laid down by Cuomo in one day, each in one take.
What?
Rivers Cuomo. Wow. Isn't that crazy?
I don't know how I feel about that. You can tell.
I mean, why would the producer lie?
He's a liar. He's a politician.
Wait, I think Rivers is that good.
Wait, is he? What does it mean? Just his portion? And what about the other guys?
The quote is, and this is from a book written about Weezer. All it says is all 10 tracks were laid down by Cuomo in one day, which I think means the band recorded the 10 tracks. And he went back and was like, yep, that's good. Next one. Or something like that. I don't know.
Interesting.
Either way, I was like,
I think he could. I think that he is that good as well. And I also think that he had a lot of energy at the time because that album was put out right after they got signed for the first time. And he was just really excited about being signed.
Wait, so did they have like a EP or anything before this?
They some of it was like they were going around trying to basically like doing gigs and stuff.
Okay.
And there was a quote from an article that I was looking at that basically Rivers was like, yeah, it's actually really hard to do this. Like he literally was like, I thought we would kind of get big, but it's really hard. And this was before, you know, they dropped the Blue Album. I was
really?
Like, That's kind of a weird thing. Like, of course it's going to be hard. Right?
I thought I could easily become famous.
Yeah. Well, like, he thought they had it all together, which, I mean, they did. But
the first album's usually the easiest one to do.
Really?
Yeah, because it's like you can take everything that you've done before that point and just all put into it. And you can basically tell your whole life story in the first album. And, like, that's when you're at your most creative.
Yeah.
Like, at the first one. So it comes off easier. And plus, you're the most hungry. But then as you go on...
Especially if you,
then you're like, what do I talk about
yeah,
now?
Yeah, then it's like, well,
I already talked about all my main
success,
stuff.
Yeah.
Then there's like pressure.
Yeah, then it's
that.
Like, well, what do I do next? You know? And then you start to panic. And
it's funny though to me that he thinks that he said stuff in that interview that made it sound like he thought they were going to get big right off the bat. Because that kind of is contradictory with a lot of their first couple albums lyrically, is just him writing about how he's a dork and he does dorky things.
So I found that. Amos was like, damn, Rivers, like, you said that. But then I looked a little bit deeper, and it wasn't like, I don't think it was meant to come off as cocky or anything. He was just like, I thought it would be easier than this. You know, it's Rivers.
Yeah,
like,
maybe.
I'm Rivers.
Interesting thing. I wanted to talk about the album art because it is kind of not legendary, but like.
Iconic.
That would be the word. Because legendary is the Beatles, not Weezer. Unless, do you think Weezer's legendary?
No.
Okay.
Maybe someday, but not right now.
If you're a fan of the album or have seen it before, it's the four dudes just next to each other, Patrick Wilson, Rivers Cuomo, Matt Sharp, and Brian Bell, on a blue background. And that was mainly the advertising for this entire album, was just that picture. And something that I found was that Photoshop was actually used to do some altering in this picture. Rivers stated that Sharp was insecure about the size of his head, and they cut out his head from an earlier photo and placed it on his body. I don't know which one Sharp is.
I was going to say, I don't know enough about the band to know even
which one
any of them are.
First name?
Patrick. Patrick Sharp.
I think he's the one all the way on.
Or, sorry, Matt Sharp. It's Patrick Wilson. But
oh,
Matt
okay.
Sharp.
Never mind. I think I know who Pat is.
So,
Rivers.
Rivers is Glass. Oh.
Is this a joke or is
no,
this
I really
a joke?
Don't know.
Okay, then I'll show you.
Should be glasses, yeah?
I'll show him.
He doesn't have glasses in the cover. That's why I'm asking.
Bangs? He's the shortest one, I think.
That one?
Yeah.
That would not be who I would have guessed.
Yeah. For sure that one. Second one in from the left.
I don't know. I should have looked into it more because it was kind of interesting, but it didn't. I didn't get into it because we want to talk about the songs that are on this and why
it makes it. Not the head sizes.
Such a good album. I guess for anyone that has grabbed this album before, we were talking about it now, like, where did you find it? Or, like, how did you get into listening to Weezer? Like, how did you come across this album?
I think Hannah should start.
Yeah, I want to hear Hannah's, like, deep story.
Before we get into, like, the songs.
That she's attached somehow to
Weezer. I'm curious.
I feel attacked as a person because that's me before I talk about anything, and Amir's just finally got it down.
It's going to be like, so when I was 5, someone dropped this album on my head, and I picked it up, and I was like, wow, and I played it, and out of nowhere, I just became attached.
I can't breathe. Whew. Okay. Don't want to wheeze. I got asthma.
Yeah, you know.
I got asthma.
That's what they call the wheezer
So
fans.
Actually, I didn't, we're just going to brush past that personal attack real quick. I didn't get super into Weezer until I was older. I didn't start listening to their, like, I would say more, when I say more recent stuff, I mean stuff that's after, like, the Blue and the Red album. Like, I didn't start listening to all of that until I was probably a junior, senior in high school. Before that, I did listen to Weezer. But I only listened to specific songs that would come up on my rotation because they were related to the other. Like, I listened to grungy music at that point, which is... Weezer we'll get into later about as a genre, what you would even consider that. But it did come up in some of the stuff that I listened to. But before I was 17, 18, the only things I knew by Weezer were their main songs, like Beverly Hills and Buddy Holly and stuff. But when I got super into them was when I was like 17 and 18. And I think it's just because I chose to further investigate like the super popular ones I knew. Mm-hmm. I fell in love with Weezer like around the time they put out the White album. So I've only been super into them for like 3 years or so.
Gotcha.
I think that gives you a different perspective than other Weezer fans then. Since you
became
a bigger fan with their more modern music and then also appreciate their old stuff rather than like becoming a fan in 1994. And then, like, following them the whole time.
Yeah, and I also think that's probably where the two, like,
what are you laughing about?
Because, like, she wasn't alive.
I know, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, I think
I get it. No, yeah. I get it, Pop.
You weren't listening in the
womb? Wow. Somebody just dropped the CD on my head while I was in the womb. And I was like, wow, what is this? What? This is great. No, but it does, I think, give me a little bit of a different perspective because a lot of people aren't into their newer stuff.
Yeah.
And their newer stuff is what made me reflect back on.
Yeah, that's
on
interesting. And you go back and you like the
I love their older stuff. I just didn't get super into their older stuff until I got into their newer stuff. It was a bit of a like
we'll
a backwards
we'll table that
progression
for our
me.
B-side, because that's an interesting point.
Yes.
What about
you, Grant? This is your closet.
I was going to say, what about Tom? This is
I want to hear. I'll
go last. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like not the same as Hannah, but I feel like kind of similarly. Like, everybody kind of knows everybody knows, like, Weezer songs.
Yeah, yeah. At the very least, people have listened to Beverly Hills.
Yeah, and, yeah, and,
is that you were, Amir?
Yeah, okay. I feel like I kind of just was always aware of them, and I was like, I like that. And I want to say the song that, like, made me, like, listen to the Blue Album in its entirety was My Name is Jonas, which came up on a Spotify, like, I don't want to say Discover because it's not that, but it was like one of those playlists. And I was like, oh, that's really good. And I was like, oh, it's Weezer. I should go listen to the rest of the album.
Yeah.
And I liked
it.
That
was that.
Yeah. I just piggyback off that for like a really short second. Back in my super emo days when I used to watch videos of My Chemical Romance on YouTube.
Oh.
One of the main things that popped up for me, I think might have been around the time I was getting more into Weezer, was that Weezer performed My Name is Jonas with My Chemical Romance, like kind of impromptu at a music festival once. And the video went like super viral because it was one of Weezer's like best recorded, arguably best recorded live performances ever is when they stopped at this festival. And they did more than My Name is Jonas. But anyway, they did My Name is Jonas with Gerard Way. It was also one of the best displays.
That sounds
amazing. Yeah, it's also one of the best, just cheesiest, holistic displays of bromance because while they're recording this, Rivers and Gerard just stop at least 5 times throughout the song to just put their arms around each other and sing. And it's just, it's a glorious video. 10 out of 10 recommend.
I'll have to go find
this video. They all end up jumping into the crowd. It's a wild performance of My Name is Jonas.
Well, I was going to say that even then, even though I listened to it and I was like, oh, this is a solid album, it wasn't like a piece of my rotation or anything like that. Like, I just listened to it and I was like, all right. And I listened to it a couple of times, maybe when I first listened to it and I was like, all right, that's good. And then I haven't really listened to it again until you said it was the classic. And I listened to it and I was like, this album is a lot better than I remember it being. Not that I thought it was bad, but it was just a lot more enjoyable.
Right.
I don't know if that's because my music taste has changed or if I was listening more closely or anything like that, but even then, to kind of say that, I've only listened to this album and then their most recent album.
Gotcha.
So,
okay.
In a Weezer perspective, I don't have a lot. That's just deep. Very focused on this.
That's deep. That's deep.
What about you?
So I listened to Beverly Hills like everyone else when it came out and was like, this is a banger. And then didn't listen again. I mean, I've heard of the group like several times. I've been like, oh, yeah, Weeze, yeah. Oh, yeah, go Weezer. And then when he said it was the classic, I was like, oh, man, I'm down to listen. And, yeah, this is like the first time I've ever like listened to any song outside of Beverly Hills. I was actually looking. Actually, I've heard 2 songs on this album before.
Oh, crap.
Or no, 1 song on this album before.
Which one was it?
It was Say It Ain't So.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, I heard that before. It was in a wrestling game.
Such a good one.
It was also in Rock Band.
They played Say It Ain't So at a wrestling game?
Was it Guitar Hero and Rock Band? Because I remember playing on Guitar Hero, and I remember finding My Name is Jonas there, and I was like, oh, this is a cool song. I mean, I did that with like every Guitar Hero song. I was like, oh, yeah, this is like my playlist now. It's just these specific songs.
But to be fair, I still go through on Spotify and I'm like, Guitar Hero 3 playlist. All right, time to shred
so
it.
Good.
Say It Ain't So is such a chill bop until you like look at the lyrical meanings. And then it's still a bop, but it's less of a chill bop and more of like a, aw, I'm sorry, Rivers, kind of a bop.
But yeah.
nice tangent.
No, and then I listened to this. The recent album, and those are the only 2 Weezer-related things I've heard before.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
So I'm like completely a Weezer person. Well, not a Weezer. I'm not a Weezy, but I'm a person looking inside of the house. Like I'm out from the outside looking in. So I'm kind of like, I can't wait to hear how you Weezies feel about
Please their, go home.
Their current album and this album, first to last.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know this has a perfect 10 on Pitchfork?
Is it really?
Yes, wow. It does.
If that doesn't say something about Pitchfork's reviews, then I don't know what does. Not to harsh on Weezer, but like, okay. So I found...
Not perfect 10 material is what he's saying.
Actually, is there? Do they cap out at 10? They do, yeah. Don't they? Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
At that point, though, it's hard because it's like, what is perfect 10 material?
Not this.
Because that should be nearly impossible to receive.
And this did.
And this did, which means we're talking about it.
To be fair, I think this is a really solid album.
I do, too, but I don't know about 10 out of 10.
Well, like we were saying before we turned it on, it's like people kind of joke that this is basically their greatest hits album, minus Island in the Sun and Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
And it's hard to argue that.
I definitely see that point of view. So when I first found it, my friends kind of introduced me to it because they're huge into like garage rock and 90s rock and all that. And my last day of senior year of high school, this sounds really, really like cliche and like storybook.
Bring it on.
But somehow we were able to like, so I was playing like bass guitar a little bit at the time.
Oh,
my dad played.
You're
bass.
The bass player?
I was a bass player. And we had like this little band going. We had a singer. We had a front man. We had
and
drums.
Rivers ran right into you somehow.
Where is my EP?
No.
I want it. I want to listen to it.
The Bus Kids.
Okay. The Bus Kids.
To even go further
send
into
me the
it.
Link.
Wow.
In April
so
for spring
day.
Break of senior year, we took a bus that someone's dad owned and turned it into like a camper and took it camping around Michigan.
It.
So we were the Bus Kids from there point on. And we
did
kind
you
of
ever actually record music?
We have one recording on an iPhone.
Oh my God, you
yes.
gotta
of
send
our
it to us.
One song that we
send
wrote.
Oh,
my
oh
God.
You
I'll try and find
please
link.
Tell me you had longer hair back then.
No, I was
oh damn.
You know.
All kids in garage bands have to have long hair.
Yes. And flannels.
There was some of that going on.
Yeah.
Anyways.
But you also look like a lead singer for a band.
You feel attacked?
As Hannah clutches her flannel.
I'm just telling you, Hannah would be the perfect lead singer for a garage band.
Can we stop personally? No, this is not the personally attack Hannah episode,
no,
Grant.
I could see that. I can see it. Like right before they popped off, it would be, and then it'll
you'd
blow
have,
up.
You'd have handstands.
Yeah.
Like stands
hand
all over the internet.
Stands.
I
wow.
do.
For hand.
That's her
I
favorite.
Do sing. It's mostly behind me, but I've sang my whole life. So it's not like it's not possible.
Yeah,
I'm a handstand.
So you could
stand.
Be a front man. I
I'm
mean,
a
woman.
Handstand.
A front woman down the road.
Can anyway, this isn't about
okay,
me.
Okay, so back to it. That last
like
day, we planned on playing a few songs in front of this huge, like all of our peers, and we were
where?
The last act to perform. It was like the last day of high school, and
please tell me Rivers is in the audience.
No. He had nothing better to do that.
I mean, no, he's not coming to Davis
no.
in Michigan.
Patrick but, Wilson was though.
No,
dang, it.
Also not. God, I can't even remember what I was saying. You throw me off.
No, you were in front of some groups.
Yeah, so we had a like performance. Like people signed up for acts. I don't really know why, but like
talent show or not?
Kind of, but like okay. funny because it's the last day. Who cares? And we signed up to be the last one, and we were like, you know, just a band playing covers for songs. And so two of our songs were the Sweater song, and then there's a song by Weezer called Memories, which is like a basically about. Have you listened to it?
Mm-mm.
It's like a perfect song for like a high school graduation. And so we played those two songs and it turned into like a mosh pit. It was insane.
There was not a
like,
mosh pit.
No, people like got up and were like jamming at the front of the stage. It was so cool. There's pictures. I'll have to find them and show you guys. It used to be like my Twitter header and stuff. Oh, so that's when I was introduced to Weezer. We started practicing their songs.
Sickeningly holistic account of your. This is like it's like a green. It's like a John Green novel. Like,
yeah.
This is what happened the day we
this
graduated high school.
Something this cool will never happen again.
See, I thought I was you think John Green. I was thinking another John. John Hughes. I was like,
oh. Okay, or
I see that. I see that.
Or
like
John
that
Hughes.
One.
So, I was introduced to them. Their bass lines are really simple, by the way, in case you wanted to know. But yeah, after that, I listened to the White Album when it came out, and that was like a front to back for me several times. Great album. And then I went back to
love
the Blue
album.
I was telling Hannah, like, as soon as I heard this, I downloaded it, and it was like I don't download albums very often, but it was on there, and I played it front to back for like a solid month or two. It was like the right mood for a solid, you know, however many hours that is. So that's when I really got into it. And it's mostly, it's honestly like not even because of the lyrics or anything or because of Rivers being Rivers. It's like the pure sound of it and like the vibe that it gives off.
Are you talking about the White Album?
No, the Blue Album.
Oh, okay. You were
just in terms of like how it sounds and some of the riffs musically in terms of that. So I've been a fan for a bit now. I think I'm in the middle of Hannah and Tom where I don't like all of their stuff, but I also appreciate quite a bit of their new stuff.
Which is why you picked it as a general classic instead of a personal classic. Would you consider it a personal classic?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. This would be the one that would be both. So with that being said, I know we've kind of gone on a lot about it, but let's like talk about the actual songs. So the first song, the classic, My Name is Jonas, which is like, I think their singles were this song, Buddy Holly, and then the Sweater song.
Yes.
But this song is actually about a car crash that Rivers and his brother got into, and they're dealing with the insurance company. Did you get that at all?
That's a solid no from me.
He says, my name is Jonas. I'm carrying the wheel. Thanks for all you've shown us, but this is how we feel. And then he goes down. The chorus is, the driver said, hey, man, we go all the way. Of course, we were willing to pay. Let me see. Anyways, if you go through it, it's like recapping this story of how they got screwed by an insurance company. And it's really, I mean, like, that sets the tone for Weezer for sure. Like, just
that's really
singing about really weird shit.
I actually read a different theory for it.
Really?
I read that My Name is Jonas was just about, as a whole, how hard it is to be an adult and, like, getting screwed over in general as
an
adult.
That's definitely the general vibe.
And I read, like a theoretical view of I'm carrying the wheel as, like, a metaphor for how all adults, you know, like, the wheel that Hades dooms what's-his-name to constantly have to push up the hill over and over and over again.
Alice?
Maybe.
No. I know you're talking
but
about.
But he has to push the wheel. Oh. Yeah, so like when the thing that I read interpreted that
he's supposed
as like
up the mountain.
That's what I was thinking.
Well, you're talking about which we'll call its dad. Zeus is dad?
Hades? Or
No.
To both of those.
I mean, Zeus is just about everybody's dad except
his own dad.
His own dad.
So Alice, Attilan, something, I don't know.
Anyway, I read a theoretical view on it that it was like adulthood screwing them over in general.
Ooh. Interesting, okay.
That's what it is.
Sissyfoot? There's also some theories or that apparently that like in older demos when they end the song is like with My Name is Jonas. Originally they said My Name is Weezer. I don't know why.
I don't like that as much.
Yeah, obviously.
No.
Jonas is better. I think it's also supposed to be a connection. Did you read the book The Giver?
It is a connection to The Giver.
Okay.
I haven't, but, well, I don't want to say it is a, but the thing that I read about this, the meaning of this song also made the connection to The Giver.
Yeah, the main character is Jonas, so. What do you think of this song? This is, like, one of my favorite songs.
This is probably my favorite off the album.
I love the aggression of this song. This song is such a, like, if you're going to mosh to a song at a Weezer concert, it's definitely My Name is Jonas.
When you hear that guitar squeal coming in.
Yep.
My name is Jonas. It also starts out super plucky.
Yeah.
And then it becomes like super hard. And then it ends with like harmonicas and stuff. And you're like, yes, this is it.
And this is like the first example of many of how Rivers knows how to just like sit back and go, yep, you're going to have some plucking. You're going to have this nice. He just plans out these songs so well.
Gerard Way is a fan. Gerard Way gives it a 10 out of 10. And a, hey, let me perform it with you. Review.
Hey.
That's nice. his review via me. You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good stuff. So, yeah, good song. Obviously made it to Guitar Hero, which is where I found it. I don't know.
It is. And then, also, I think, like, the guitar in general just plays into the aggressive sound of this song so well. They have, like, that huge guitar solo at the first couple of verses. A huge section of this song is just instrumental around, like, the bridge area.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all just a jam.
It's just a jam.
Just a jam.
That's honestly probably why I listen to it so much, because it's a jam at the end of the day. Then we move on to No One Else. This is like one of the deeper cuts from this album, but it's one of the more iconic ones because it starts off with My Girl's Got a Big Mouth, with which she blabbers a lot. I don't know if I like this song the most, but like again, the sonic part of it, the music part of it, I do like and I appreciate. But it's basically about him being jealous and insecure.
Yeah, it's quirky, but it's
It's like a complete, this is straight from Mike Rivers. And he did write most of these songs as well, in case you didn't know that. But
this song always has me wondering whether or not he is using like hyperbole and like over exaggerating what he wants from this person to make a point, or like if he actually meant these things. Songs are songs, and I shouldn't psychoanalyze them, but lyrically, I'm not a huge fan of this one.
Yeah.
Because there's been some comments that are like, this is sexist. Hey, when I go away, I'd rather you just stay in the house and not leave and put all of your makeup away and don't laugh at anyone.
Yep.
But then, exactly. Which is like, and then the weird thing about it is instrumentally, it's so light and like happy. And then the lyrics are like, don't leave the house when I'm not here.
Yeah.
So
I think it'd be hyperbole, where it's just like expressing a feeling that I don't want to say everybody has, but like a little bit that like bugs people.
Yeah,
and just like blows
women
it up
leaving
and
houses bug you.
No, I'm saying I'm saying insecurities in general, like it makes insecurity.
Wondering, is my girlfriend like gonna go do something while I'm not around?
Even
like I've had those thoughts. I used to have a lot of thoughts actually.
Even if it isn't like.
Good. I'm in a good place.
I say, even if it isn't like an extreme thing, it's like I think everybody like has at least thought that a time or two.
Totally. And you get kind in of your head, you overthink stuff.
I mean, and even at that point, the comment about the house is less than the comment about laughing at other people's jokes. And like that one, I can make more excuses for, because if you're a super insecure guy, you're gonna be like, I'm worried that you think other people are funnier than me.
Yep.
Kind of a thing. So like, I hope. Because I love Weezer, I choose to think it's a hyperbole, so I can just like it and move on.
I think that's what it was.
Probably blowing it up and then showing how kind of ridiculous it is.
Yeah.
But then there's probably people that are like, yes, I want that too.
Mm-hmm. Well, then those people
should die.
Whoa.
I said it.
Whoa.
I'll say it again.
Hyperbole. Whoa.
But he saves himself with the next track, The World Has Turned and Left Me Here, which is about a girl leaving him.
Which is what happens when she thinks his jokes are funnier. Poor Rivers.
The world has turned and left me here, just where I was before you appeared. And in your place, an empty space has filled the void behind my face. Bummer, Rivers. You're being an asshole. Got what's coming to you. We're all, I think, Amir and Tom right now are like listening to the songs.
I was listening to get a
a refresher.
When I was listening to this one, to me, maybe it's just me, but I always thought that it sounded like the hardcore guitar in My Name Is Jonas mixed with the like plucky acoustics, like mashed on top of each other.
Yeah,
it sounds like that to me. Maybe that's just me. Every time I listen to it, I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah, I love this song purely for the chorus. Like that's. I don't know why, but that's just poetically, you know, I appreciate that. Like, that's fantastic songwriting.
It was like a real high school track. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know?
In his feelings.
That's what I feel like a lot of the songs overall.
How old
to
were
me.
They in 1994?
Yeah, felt like high school related.
They were probably in, like, 20s, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like they were in high school and they wrote them, and
this
then they
like
just
the
put them
epitome
to
of
high
school angst in the 90s.
Yes, like, yes.
Which is probably why it makes it so good, because it is the defining, like, that's
the defining time for angst, you know? Like that.
And they
90s.
Came exactly at the right time with the right sound to do that.
Any time is the right time for angst if you hang out with the right people in there.
Well, I just feel like, high school, 90s high school angst is like, I don't feel like, it's a wild word to use, but like, I feel like it's sexy to everyone.
Yeah.
Like, that's the time when everyone was like, I'm mad at the world. Mm-hmm. Man is holding me down.
Yeah, I won't say much about it because I always go on about, you know, I always like the sad song off the album, but I do think that it's great and I do think it's very poetic as well.
Yeah. And then after that song, we get the hit record, the fantastic song Buddy Holly, which have you seen the music video
before?
Yeah,
it's like one of the greatest music videos.
Spike
of
Jones.
All time.
Oh, yeah. And it's funny
Spike
is
Jones.
This almost didn't even make it on the album.
Spike Lee.
The bassist,
like Spike
Matt
Lee?
Sharp.
He's good too.
Well,
who are you talking about?
You said Spike Jones, and I said, I love Spike Jones. And Amir said Spike Lee. And I said, yeah, he's good too.
Those spikes have their own places in
yeah,
history.
Yeah, they sure in the hell do.
So anyways, the bassist Matt Sharp described the producer Rick pushing for the song to be on the album. And he said, Rick said we'd be stupid to leave it off the album. We'd come into the studio in the morning and find little pieces of paper with doodles on them. We want Buddy Holly, quote unquote.
What a great producer.
Like, not being a dick about it, but also being like, yo, this is going to be a hit. Like, put it on there. And then it did. It wasn't. They had popped
that
off.
Like that idea going with it too, but the lyrics were almost not even. I look just like Buddy Holly. It was something about.
That's what Rivers Cuomo looks like, in case you wanted to know.
What a mustache!
Yeah, it's
looks
for the memes.
Older than you would think.
Is that off of the One Genius annotation, which starts it off with how he is arguably the nerdiest?
Yeah,
rock.
It says perhaps the most nerdy rock star to ever exist.
I opened that today. I started laughing, and my roommate's like, "What are you laughing about?" And I was like, "Can I please read this annotation to you?"
It's funny because he plays the stereotype so well with like, I'm a nerdy guy that like rocks out. I mean, like the first verse is, "What's with these homies? This and my girl. Why do they got a front? What do we ever do to these guys that made them so violent?"
It's hard to not say violent, because you know how the thing goes. Yeah. No, I think that is funny too. And then it mentions in that annotation as well how he uses his nerdy persona to like contradictory, like use like hip hop terms. He does that in El Scorcho too.
Mm-hmm.
Freaking love El Scorcho. Relevant to this conversation.
Maybe we'll bring Pinkerton on for another song or
Pinkerton
discussion. And then he basically is like trying to say, "I am a rock star. I look like Buddy Holly," you know.
And he does
indeed.
If
you didn't get that from the
look,
from the
just song. Like Buddy Holly.
So
it's
better
creepy.
Stay away from planes, then.
He looks.
I mean,
sorry. I'm sorry. You just handed it off. I'm sorry.
The song handed it off.
It did.
He also addresses like multiracial or multiracial relationships with like, "I don't care what they say about us anyway. I don't care about that." You know what that's about?
What?
Like Mary Tyler Moore.
Well, I know there was like rumored dating between Mary Tyler Moore and Buddy Holly, but like it also wasn't like a lot. This song kind of like, it's strange because when Rivers was asked about the song, he said it isn't romantic. It's about a friend, which is funny because everyone thinks it's romantic.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It very well might be. But he said once, he was like, "No, it's about my friend. My friend that's a girl that I was defending all the time," and yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
Which would make sense with Buddy Holly and Mary Tyler Moore because they were never like technically a thing.
Yeah.
So
I always thought it also said married Tyler Moore.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was like, what does that even mean? Yeah. It didn't make any sense. But
so deep. What does that even mean?
What does it even mean? I don't even get it.
I don't even understand.
And then we get the legendary, my favorite Weezer song, "Undone the Sweater" song.
Is this where you started cuffing your pants?
Is your favorite
Whoa.
Weezer
this
song of all?
This is where I started cuffing my pants. I smoked some cigarettes, went out and bought some flannels.
You guys not about? Can you guys not? Because today I have a flannel and I cuff my pants. So can we please stop?
I thought of the cuffing joke, and then I looked down and I was like, "Uh-oh, it's gonna happen."
This song is actually the first Weezer song Cuomo ever wrote back in 1991.
Really?
Yep.
Ever in his life?
Yeah.
It matches. See, this is where I felt like it was, when I was listening, it kind of felt like peak high school angst for me. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, yeah.
I love the sweater song. The sweater song is my favorite on the album.
Whoa.
I think it's the most original, too.
That's my second
Whoa.
Favorite, right after My Name is Jonas.
Okay. Okay.
Awesome. All
right.
Damn.
Yeah.
I feel like everybody listens to, I shouldn't say everybody, I feel like a lot of people listen to are like, haha, he's destroying his sweater. And then never think anything else about it.
I mean, that's, yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
That's all I've heard about it before. I was like listening to it, and I'm like, wait a second.
He said about the chorus, the sweater thread, he said he took typing, Psych 101 and English 101 that semester, and this is in college. He said it was in my English class that I heard the analogy of the unraveling sweater. Dr. Eisenstein used the image to demonstrate the effectiveness
thesis.
Of focused thesis statement in an essay. All I have to do is hold a single thread in your sweater and it will unravel as you walk away. So he had a ghostwriter. It was Dr.
Eisenstein.
Wow. Didn't even credit
fraud.
Him. Did he credit him? Probably not.
You better, because you would think that Dr. Eisenstein of English 101 would be pretty particular about.
Yeah, he could
citing
have been like, "Yo,
sources.
That's my metaphor. What are you doing, Rivers? Why are you trying to front?"
Did you cite your sources correctly?
I love the verse. Oh no, it go, it gone, bye bye,
bye.
It's like one of my favorite parts.
And I die.
Yeah. And he screams.
I also like near the end where he throws in something about how I wouldn't destroy your tank top.
Yeah, no, yeah. I had that too.
It's
that
like him being like, I wouldn't do this to you. Why are you doing this to me?
I don't want to destroy your tank top. Let's just be friends and just walk away. Yeah, this is like one of those songs where I'm, let's like brings out my point that I just like the sound of it. Because he, like, the, not the choruses, but like the verses that he chooses here are just so stupid. But like, they're great too.
I think that the whole, did you read the annotation on the, oh no, it go, it gone, bye bye?
No.
It like it's it. There's like a theory that the reason he wrote that so choppy and awkward sounding is because at that point he is so quote unquote unraveled that like making sentences is even hard for him at that point.
That's clever.
Like he's just so messed up over the situation.
Is that confirmed? Is that what he did?
No, that's just an annotation. That's yeah.
That's a good way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, great song.
Great song.
Great song. This was one of the songs that we performed them in my little high school band too.
I need the link.
It went.
We need the link. We all off. Need the link.
I also want to
it
see
it. It slapped.
It slapped. Everyone People cried. Were punching each other. Everyone was going wild.
Did anyone?
Principal
cry?
Was.
It was a riot.
His shirt off.
Bus kids. Whoa. Bus kids.
My dad thought we were the bus kids, and I was like,
"What? What is
I see that.
We're not the bus kids." But next up, Surf Wax America.
Under,
I think
I
all
think
you
it's
need
an un what's from link for
underappreciated.
Yeah, there you go. Underappreciated song.
This is also one of my favorite tracks, and I think the chorus is all you need to hear for this one. You take your car to work, I'll take my board. Dude,
talk about
he's a hippie, yo.
Talk about Amir's teenage angst comment. I think that's with this one. He's just like, you work your 9 to 5. I'm gonna go do my own
I feel
thing.
Like this should be called teenage angst the album.
I mean, it is.
It should be. I don't, you know.
Yeah.
Can't a grown man have angst?
No.
No? You got no emotions?
We're going surfing.
You ain't ever get angry or upset about things, Amir?
You know, at the same time.
I think the surfing thing, like, really.
Thank you, Tom.
Oh, I love
it. In California as a whole, really.
Fight me.
Is a thing that Rivers likes. I mean, especially in Pacific Daydream.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's, like, hardcore trying to be the Beach Boys. And I'm like.
Yes. Yes, I want to talk about that. I thought that was a Beach Boys album.
Yeah, I was like,
yeah, but he's parodying it, right?
Is he?
Or maybe he's.
I don't think
you mentioned the song, right?
Which one?
There's an actual song off of Pacific.
Yeah, called Beach Boys.
Yeah, called Beach.
Yeah,
well,
there's a pivotal point where that song, and then like later on, it's like he fully like leans into like trying to be like a modern Beach Boys, and I'm like, the songs are good, but I don't know.
I was interested to hear your opinion on that because I know you really like the Beach Boys. That's all you have to say, though?
Yeah.
Right now. Yeah.
Okay.
If we talk about it in the B-side,
they said they were influenced by them their entire career, though. They said the blue album from even the start, they were like,
keep
what
going.
Are they even
don't
talking about?
Don't worry about
right?
it.
Okay. That's fine. They just don't give a fuck.
I know. I care. No, I no.
Here's what I think. Yeah. I think there's a difference between being inspired by it and inspired by the Beach Boys like they are, and then there's
and then
being the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I said, I still like Pacific Daydream, but I'm like,
this takes me back.
I don't necessarily like the Beach Boys are the Beach Boys. Weezer's not the Beach Boys. The Beach Boys are like
this takes me
Beatles,
back to
Beach Boys.
To Hannah's on.
I'm not even a huge fan of the Beach Boys, so maybe that's why. I don't have anything against them, but maybe that's why I don't like Pacific Daydream as much as I liked the White Album, because like I just wasn't into the sound quite as much.
I mean, I do like the Beach Boys, which is maybe why I was still like, okay.
Maybe that's why you really dig Pacific Daydream.
Now, do you want to get into the meat and bones of this album right here?
The meat and potatoes.
Right,
okay,
potatoes,
I want to say that after.
Whoa.
I want before you get into that.
I mean, we already sort of chopped through the potatoes and carrots.
Yeah,
we're like,
now we're
getting
in
the
meat.
The steak.
I want to say that I believe after Sweater,
yeah,
it just goes downhill.
What?
Wow!
You're going to dismiss this song.
Listen,
that we're going to talk about right now.
Yeah,
it's
I think
Say It
he said
so.
To cut it
I
off the album.
I think it's it gets too much attention. Overhyped.
Whoa!
Overplayed.
Okay.
Wow. How do you feel about
why,
that?
Why? Why is that?
I just think it's like. I feel like
say it ain't so,
this is,
Tom.
Here's what I think.
Say it ain't so.
When I was listening to the song earlier, I had it out loud, and my girlfriend was like, "Who does that Creep song?" And I was like, "Radiohead." And this sounds exactly like Creep. And I don't know which came
say
first.
Say it ain't
I don't know
so.
The years.
Did you feel
and I was,
that way?
And I was like, "Nah, it's overplayed." It
Whoa.
Just, I feel like it doesn't have the energy or anything.
You do that every time Tom says anything that like is a hot take.
I think it's part of the reason. I think it's part of the reason Tom says it. Because I think Tom's like, ooh,
he's like
if I say some, if I say some real shit right
my
now,
hype man.
Amir's gonna be like, oh shit.
I don't think that's that hot of a take. Wow. Like, I've talked to people that like don't.
Amir is just surprised that a grown man could have some sort of emotions about this. Like, I don't know, angst or like a care,
Tom,
a concern
this,
so
about
now you're,
something.
You're bringing the character attacks back at him.
Yeah.
What else did you say, Tom? How else did you feel about the album? About this song particularly?
Say It Ain't So. I just think like the first few times you're like, yeah, all right. And then after that, I'm like, is it really the best song? Like, do people really need to blow it up this much? Like,
damn,
that's interesting.
The best song?
I think
a lot of people listen to "Say It Ain't So" just as much as like Buddy Holly. And
yeah. Whoa, you hate it?
I don't.
I lied when I said
I'm
the sweater song was
it.
My favorite because this.
If I never heard
time.
It again, I'd be okay.
Whoa!
You're just stop because he's literally just doing it at this point for you to say back whatever his last sentence was in that voice.
Okay, for me, I thought that this was my favorite song on the album. That's why I'm gonna say it ain't
Whoa.
So.
Whoa! Your favorite song?
My favorite song of all time by Weezer, second behind Beverly Hills.
Whoa!
Second behind Beverly Hills. Yes.
And you just listened to this song like recently, then?
Yes.
Dang, that's pretty cool.
I really like this song.
Yeah.
I just did. I don't know why. It just. I was driving and I was like, "Wow, I want to say it ain't so too."
Yeah.
Whoa.
And then this is the song that you put on when you're like kind of just.
I was driving.
You're like
a little hazy. Couldn't really see. This is when I didn't have my glasses yet.
It is a hazy vibe.
And I was like, "Wow."
It definitely is a hazy vibe.
I felt this like because okay. Just to be honest, I was in my car, couldn't see. For a while, I looked at my phone like, all right, when does this album end? That's what I was feeling like up to that point. I was like, well, where's it ending at? And then this came on and it was like a surge. Like,
yeah.
For me, personally, it feels like it picks up for me after this. The whole album.
You really mean these things, right?
Yes.
You're not just, okay.
Yes, it picked up for me for some reason. I don't know why. I just enjoyed the latter songs than the. Except for the last one. I don't know how I feel.
I was about to say, I'm kind of surprised
that
because, like,
is,
Only in Dreams is really slow, and Holiday isn't that slow, but it's very, like, holistic and kind of boring.
The next, whoa.
Sorry.
Boring, you say.
So like, let's just go away to a faraway land. Let's.
Hey, whoa.
And I'm like, okay.
All right, whoa.
Holiday.
Button your jacket. Far away. You button up your shirt now.
My flannel?
Relax. Button your flannel.
The character attacks continue.
I'm actually wearing a Weezer shirt right now, so irrelevant.
Okay. All right.
Keep talking.
She's gonna fuck
me up. Sweater song.
I'm nervous. But
Say It Ain't So. We're
yeah,
happy
yeah, no. I was a fan of Say It Ain't So.
Yeah. It's classic.
To me, at least. Tom, clearly not, you know.
This came out after Creep, in case anyone's curious.
So you think it's a ripoff?
You think
it's a nice retweet without
Wow, so you're saying that they took from Creed.
Creep.
Creep by
I was nervous.
Rest in peace.
I was like, Creed? Yeah, I was like, that's not at all.
It's like really mellow and quiet, and it's just like the guitar just like
that's you could say that about a couple of Weezer songs though.
You said about their whole catalog.
I disagree.
Maybe even instrumentally, but like I feel like lyrically, this is the most personal song on the album because it's all about Rivers' dad and his stepdad and his family life and his home stuff. So, like, Tom may very well have a point because I can see the similarities there instrumentally. But I think at least lyrically, it can say originality, you know.
Here's the thing. I don't hate this song. I just think it's overplayed. Like, I've heard it enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. And I see what you're saying with the similarities. It's not that I don't like it instrumentally. I think it has a cool chill. I'm not like, you know, like hazy driving like a music.
Yeah, like I was driving.
It gives me that vibe, which is great, but I also don't think that instrumentally it's like anything super awesome, super great. I just appreciate it for like its importance to them,
to Weeze?
I guess. Cuz it probably meant a lot to Weeze.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see, as since someone that's like less, that holds less value on lyrics.
Yeah.
That's maybe that's why I can tell that way.
Yeah.
Whoa, you don't like lyrics?
No, I just said I hold them.
Whoa.
Stop.
Tom is anti-lyrics. You heard it here.
I do hate them. No song should have lyrics. Get them out.
Whoa.
Instrumentals for life.
Wow.
When a popular song on the radio comes out, I look at the instrumental on YouTube. Anyways, got this album.
I'm like, you know what? This would be better without words.
Words. Just all nothing.
You better without words. Spotify once a week saying, can there be an option to turn words
just
off here?
Just to turn the lyrics
like,
right
only,
off.
Can you have an instrumental only option?
Just be like, these lyrics, they ain't it. That ain't it at all, Spotify
chief. It ain't
chief.
It, chief.
Yeah, they know. This is, I don't want to hear this ever again. These words, I want to hear this song without the words. Tom would be the best producer
I'm
for
like,
current music
I'm like
now.
Frank Sinatra, out of here. I don't want those words.
Current,
I don't care how good your voice is.
Current
nothing.
Music, Tom would be like, hey, all that mumbling you're doing, I just want to hear just straight beats. Get out of my studio.
No, the mumbles are better. It's moving towards no words.
Okay, I like. I'm pro. I actually think that, because me and Tom were texting about this before we got here. Actually said that he was like he listened to Lil Pump recently and he actually preferred that over this.
Is that what you said? Or is he just taking you out of context?
If you assume that Amir and I were actually texting before this.
Oh. So you just played.
Yeah, I said that.
Tom right here confirms Lil Pump Weezer.
No,
I didn't say
if
that.
If this was an article,
we
that'd be the headline.
No, yeah, I should have known. I rather enjoyed this song.
Okay. So then we get
it's quite good.
In the Garage and Holiday, both just songs that Rivers wrote after he got a record deal.
Oh,
and he said he was feeling a burst of confidence and optimism. And so he wrote a song about spending all your money on a trip. And then talking about D&D, which are basically
And Kiss.
I'm Rivers Cuomo songs.
All of his Kiss posters in the Garage talked about that a lot, too. Yeah.
These songs are like really good in the moment when you're listening to them, but otherwise that's kind of, like, I'm not going to go. I mean, like, Holiday is good, but
listen,
I don't like In the Garage
even though
much.
I said after Sweater, you could, the rest of the albums, these songs, because Say It Ain't So through Holiday could still be there, cut it at that.
Whoa.
So I'm going to actually rebuttal that with Only in Dreams is like the B-side to Say It Ain't So.
I think.
And that,
it.
Like,
it's way too long.
Really?
Yeah.
How wait,
it's like
the song
7.5 minutes.
All that emotional shit,
minutes,
cut
yes.
it. Tom doesn't want it
I'm
at all.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not going
to
lie.
I want you to be out. I want you to be so angsty that you have no feelings.
Whoa.
Okay, I said it.
Whoa.
You're no longer angsty at that point.
Personal attack here.
You care so little.
On who, Amir?
Here's actually an interesting
big shocker.
Take. I want to read you this. You know the Grantland,
thank you, Grant.
The website that was owned by ESPN before they shut it down and then turned into the Ringer.
Oh yeah, okay.
So they did like a track by track.
Hold on a second. Ringer is ESPN?
It was
Grantland, and then they shut that down. And Bill Simmons was like, "I'm gonna go start a new network."
Oh, gotcha.
Ringer.
Gotcha.
But they Grantland gave it like a the Blue Album a track by track review for its like 20th anniversary. And they said about this that the Blue Album was a record made for people who preferred watching to doing before the internet came along and turned everybody into watchers. What exactly were you watching in, quote, Only in Dreams? A guy not get the girl. It was better that way because Cuomo's core audience of alienated teenage male virgins preferred the camaraderie of those who did not get the girl to actually getting the girl, because what in the hell do you do with a girl?
Wow.
Which I thought was extremely accurate when I was looking at these.
Whoa.
Because, like,
cow.
You could then,
his bass is like.
You could then say that a majority of his discography is watching the guy not get the girl, because that's a lot of his.
Yeah,
stuff.
It totally is. Which is completely
not
opposite.
All of it.
Okay.
Maybe
if you
stop playing
D&D.
Oh,
be such a loser.
Wow.
I'm just kidding.
Or just find
so
a girl who likes
crucial.
D&D.
I was just kidding. We had a D&D appointment yesterday with my friends. So
a
appointment.
Is that what they're appointment?
No.
A dick
well,
appointment?
It didn't happen.
What?
So I went and said we played D&D.
Oh.
We had it got canceled.
Okay, no.
My appointment
is
got
that what
canceled.
They refer to them as D&D sessions or
sessions.
Appointments?
We had a scheduled session that got canceled. So I guess I'm in no position.
I will say there are some happier, like, love-related ones in his newer stuff, though.
Yes.
Like White Album and
he
got
the
definitely
girl.
Got older.
Arguable, because
angsty.
There's also stuff in the album, in those
Black
same
album
albums about the opposite. But there's some stuff. There's some happy stuff.
Some.
So I have a question.
I just looked at you and you were...
waiting for your turn.
This has been a goofy episode.
It has.
Yeah. 2 hours, 2.5 hour drive kind of leaves me a little hazy when I get it.
So would you say your favorite Weezer song is on this album?
Yeah, Say It Ain't So is my favorite. And then my Sweater Song would be a second.
All right. And you, Hannah?
Buddy. The Sweater Song is my favorite.
Of all Weezer?
Oh. No.
That's what I'm asking. Favorite Weezer song overall? Is it on this album or is it Happen Later?
Happens Later.
It happens on a different album. I really like Ratitude. Ratitude's probably my favorite Weezer album.
You said Say It Ain't So?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, mine is also
not. Oh, no, Beverly Hills.
Okay, yeah.
And then Say It Ain't So.
Mine is also not on this album. As much as I like this album, my favorite one comes on Pacific Daydream.
Whoa!
That's interesting.
That is listening to the album, that album going to make you like dig a little bit deeper than into their like discography? Because
yeah, especially the more recent stuff. Are you talking about White Album?
Yeah.
It's
all kind of
sounds more similar to
I'd
that.
I'd be curious to hear what you think about the rest of that, because as you know, the overwhelming majority of people are like, Weezer past Pinkertons? Well, fuck that, you know?
Yeah.
That isn't the move. I'd be curious to hear what you think. I did want to read some of the Pitchfork review. Because it is an esteemed, you know, thing. Yeah, so I'm going to say this.
Too much
water. Album so substantial, the band misguidedly attempted to tap into its resonance through cover graphics a mere 2 releases later. So let's just get this out of the way. They did go back to naming their albums just after that, you know, the colors and putting themselves on the cover.
So where did they actually
probably
name?
Because where they got such poor response for Pinkerton during that time period.
Did they? So they actually named their albums like Green, Red.
Yeah, after that, they did. Yeah.
Could you release every album and just call it Weezer, every single one, and just have a different color? Would that
Weezer
be possible?
Blue, Weezer Red, Weezer Green.
I mean, you could.
That would be cool.
That's what they did. That's technically what the first one is. It's Weezer. Shots fired. But anyways, in 1994, 70s rock had come to mean either a bastardized version of Led Zeppelin or a bullshit reconstruction of punk rock. As guitar nerds, Weezer saw influence but found true inspiration in forgotten bubblegum power pop like Cheap Trick, Raspberries, 2020, and The Quick. Most impressively, Rivers Cuomo rescued the thrilling guitar solo from finger-tapping metal and disregarding grunge and punk. A decade later, air guitaring to the album feels far less embarrassing than singing along. With the help of Spike Jones,
Jones.
Weezer kept joy alive in arena rock, making the critical repositioning of Weezer as some emo touchstone even more absent-minded. They called themselves Weezer knowingly, for Christ's sakes. Brent DiCrescenzo.
I had to take 5 breaks during that internally to weep. Because that was like. Was
I mean, that's
mean.
A pitch for a groove, right? They gave Greta Van Fleet off, by the way, they gave it a 1.8, which I thought was. Oh, I was kind of furious about that because
I'm going to be honest.
If you want one review,
I didn't really
at, like
Led
like,
Zeppelin's
wow.
newest album either.
Shut up.
If you want to look at Pitchfork for one, for any example of them being pretentious as hell, like that's the thing that you go to because they're so pissed that someone's making that same exact sound and, you know, I guess benefiting off of it. But like,
we should do a B-side about music reviewers.
Yeah,
Pitchfork is really interesting.
If I am going to pick, this is off topic, but since Tom asked me, I've been like considering. If I was going to pick an all-time favorite Weezer and it wasn't just off this album, it would either be If You're Wondering If I Want You To off of Ratitude or Thank God for Girls off of the White Album.
Say it again?
If You're Wondering If I Want You To off of Ratitude or Thank God for Girls off of the White Album.
Really? That's the other one.
Thank God for Girls is so an original. It's so just the beginning of it, the way he starts off, and he's like not rapping, but he's not singing.
Like, wait,
and it's got really weird things lyrically. I will say, because I like the White Album though, Thank God for Girls is a close tie with King of the World, which is also just a bop. King of the World probably gets more, I don't know about favorite, but King of the World probably gets more play for me than any other Weezer song because it just puts me in a good mood. It's a good
So next time we'll talk about the White Album. Or Ratitude.
I don't know. Possibly.
Maybe.
Possibly. I do. It's a good one, though. I recommend.
So at the end of the day, are you glad that you listened to this album? Or
yes.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you find at least
so
one
So I
song?
Can say that I heard it.
And also, you liked Say It Ain't So.
Yes.
So now when you have a car drive, childhood. And you're like, I'm going to get in the fields for a second.
I did. Brought me back to my childhood.
Yeah.
Gotta watch that. That's close to angst.
Whoa.
Nostalgia and
really
angst
are
right there.
Mad at me over this angst. What'd you say, Tom?
I said nostalgia and angst are like.
You might just want to turn a little
Tom.
Pump instead, right?
Thank
yeah.
As cut out the words entirely at that point.
I mean, as Tom.
No
was
more
saying,
words.
As Tom, yeah, I really like. I like, you know.
Commentary
that
tracks
hat.
Are my thing.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I'd rather them make the song and then talk about them making the song as the actual track. So instead of the lyrics, it's just them talking about, yeah, this is really cool when I put this note right here. That's what I would like more.
But have the instrumental slightly louder.
Yes,
than the
and then them talking.
So
yes,
like,
so you can
not really
not
hear
really,
them.
Yes, that's what I would prefer.
Anyways, probably. I'm sorry for listeners out there who are listening to us.
I think this is a good one.
I'm not sorry.
That we've
I
created
think
a lot of inside jokes and memes
funny.
Here.
There wasn't many inside
lucky enough
jokes.
To be listening in the early stages to where 50 episodes down the road when we talk about instrumentals only, you're gonna get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there wasn't really
the joke.
There wasn't really much inside jokes. These were all inside jokes created now. So now they're inside jokes for when we bring it on later on. Yeah. By the way, I like Hannah's bangs.
They
bang.
Are kind of angsty though, so like they don't know how they feel about it. <you. laughs>
What did you say,
Who
Tom?
Who wants to wrap
Thank
this
you.
One up?
I will.
Thank you, Tom, for getting me out of that.
We just talked about Weezer and the Blue Album. This was our A side.
Yes.
Our B side is going to be about the evolution of music artists over time. And we've talked a few times about Pacific Daydream, Weezer's most recent album, you know.
What, ever.
20 years later?
Yep.
23 years later, something like that. And so we're going to kind of do a B-side about evolution of music artists. And since this side was about Weezer, we're going to kind of look at it through the lens of Weezer as much as we can on the B-side. So make sure you definitely listen to that. We'll also be talking about other artists as well, but kind of drawing it back to the A-side, we'll be talking about Weezer. Yeah, good Weezer Blue Album. Thumbs up.
Good.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs in the middle.
Catch it in the B-side.
Yeah.
And all... Never mind. I was just gonna say something about Weezer and inhalers, but we're done now.
Please leave that in.
Watch
there.
Your
leave
seasonal.
This whole this
how
this
long
like,
is
watch
that?
Your seasonal
Bye.
Asthma.
Bye. Leave
Bye.
That in
okay.
there.
Okay.